Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we have a special treat as we sit down with our friends Ryan and Kayla Quinley, and we talk to them about their then-upcoming mission trip to the Dominican Republic. We chatted about what it was like to prepare to go on a mission trip, some of the challenges that they faced leading up to it, and what brought them to want to be missionaries in the first place.
Yes, so at the time of this recording, it was just days before they were getting ready to leave, and that was a month ago. So they have now been in the Dominican Republic about 3 to 4 weeks, and they've experienced quite a lot already. So if you want to follow along with that, you can check that out on their Facebook, Instagram pages, or website, and we will link to all of that information in the episode notes.
And with that, we'll get right into the show. You guys are going to go to the Dominican.
Yeah.
What did you think when you first heard they were going to go?
I would never do that.
But you had a question you wanted to ask right at the beginning.
So clearly you guys have a heart for missions if you are planning to go to the DR indefinitely, I think is the word that you guys used last time we talked. So I kind of want to know more about, like, how did your heart for missions start? I think your website talks about both of you kind of in college getting that heart for missions. And so I just kind of wanted to hear about that a little bit.
Yeah, you can say first, Kayla, then I'll explain next.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a process. I think I didn't have a specific moment in time that I just felt that call. I think it was over, you know, several years. I took my first short-term international trip in high school. I went to Mexico for just a week, and that was really eye-opening. But I can't say that that was, you know, the moment I decided I was going to live overseas at all. It was still not on my radar. But I went on a few more short-term trips, and then in college, continued to go on short-term trips. And I also just had a lot of friends in college that were from other countries. You know, some from Japan, some from, you know, different Latin countries as well. And God just put me in a unique position to minister to them. None of them were Christians. Some of them didn't even know who Jesus was.
Interesting.
And so I think that's when it was, you know, my heartstrings were really pulled. And I thought, man, if these people don't even know who Jesus is, or they do, but they clearly don't understand the gospel, someone needs to tell them. Someone needs to be that person to befriend them and, you know, share the gospel with them. And so I think, you know, through high school and college, probably my first year in college was the first time I thought I might want to live overseas someday and do this. So,
yeah.
Yeah, mine started in high school when I had to take Spanish class because I didn't want to do anything else. got to my third year and thought, well, I'm not going to do a shop or something. I might as well take the third year, and got to the fourth year and thought, well, why not? You know, I just had been this far, so took 4 years of Spanish in high school, and then had a couple of Spanish-speaking roommates in college, and became conversational. Wasn't great at that point at Spanish, but, you know, used it enough to get somewhere with it. And I had no idea what I was going to do over the summers in college, and I had a friend from Venezuela whose dad was a pastor, and I thought, hey, maybe I'll just go to Venezuela for a couple months and work in the church, practice my Spanish. But another missionary from the Dominican came and spoke in college at our school and said she was looking for an intern. That sounded a little bit more productive than just going to Venezuela to see what's down there. So I said, sure. And I went down for 3 months and to the Dominican Republic and loved it, loved serving there, saw the need for the gospel, just like anywhere. But was drawn there to serve and went back for another 8 months. And since then, I've been thinking missions at some point in our lives. It's been a few years since then to, you know, have it all come about now. But
yeah,
since then, really.
Now you both met in college. How did it come about that you figured out you both had this heart for missions? How did that come about?
We really just saw each other working in college towards building relationships with other international students. Kayla knew that I was in the Dominican for quite a while. It took a long time to convince her that she should date me. I think she turned me down 3 times. So yeah. I saw it before her, I guess, is the thing. And then she eventually came around. And
So you're quicker to say yes to going to the DR than to saying
yes.
To
me, oddly, yeah. Yes.
That's true. That's true.
I telling on you a little bit, I remember you telling the story that Kayla, I remember you saying you had a criteria, like whoever I'm going to be with has to have this mission mindset. And Ryan, you were joking that I met like that really strict criteria, but it was still,
Something was still off. There's a fine print somewhere that I didn't bother to read at some point.
I was just a little slow, I think. I was hesitant.
Well, it's pretty awesome. When we found out that we found out about you guys and that you were going, I think, first of all, for us who have never done any missions at all, I think, thinking about going to the DR, even for a short period of time, let alone for a long period of time, I think kind of blew us away. So when we got to meet you guys and learn more about your story, we were completely fascinated, I think, by that. And maybe a little bit about context for what is a missionary? Like, what does a missionary do? And what is mission work about? Like, why is it important?
Right. I mean, starting from the first chapter of the Bible in Genesis, you have this plan given to Abraham, but the blessings are not just to Abraham, but God says, through him, all the peoples of the earth shall be blessed. Mm. And so from this beginning point, this is right after the Tower of Babel, and you've got the nations that are cursed, but then the next chapter, the nations are going to be blessed in Israel. And this carries through, you know, especially in the New Testament, this is one of the main points of emphasis. So you look at the end of Matthew, and go to all nations, just go, and all peoples, and teach them about the gospel. And you see Paul's done this, he travels around all over the place, sharing the gospel, and starting churches and all this. And so that's really why we're interested in it, is this biblical basis. And there's different ways that people do what we now call missions. You know, it's a really popular movement right now, the missions movement, which is wonderful, but the ground is in scripture and the gospel and advancing the kingdom particularly, and different ways that people do that practically here. We're doing church planting and theological education. So we really have an ecclesial focus and trying to ground the church in the Dominican Republic in Christ and build up the people there. So then we can leave and they can carry on. And we won't have to be there literally indefinitely.
Right. That's good.
Were you going to ask something?
Uh-huh.
But you don't know what it was. Maybe you should be paying right attention. Yeah, you mentioned there's a movement now about missions. What would you say to people that are interested in trying to find out if they should do it or... Well,
yeah, and even like the different kinds, right? Long-term, short-term, you guys have talked about that. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. But then also international, domestic, I feel like that's self-explanatory as well. But are there more types of mission? You know, like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people are involved in all types of things under the broader banner of missions. You know, there's orphan ministries or, you know, schools that are being started. My advice is that one would think long and hard with the church body and think not just hard, but theologically about missions and how should we approach this and what should we be doing and what is the most wise thing to do with our time, money, resources, etc. You see some people now and then that just kind of shoot and go for it, and they maybe, in my opinion, don't end up doing the most wise or beneficial things for the kingdom. Yeah. And so it really takes a lot of good, hard thinking and a church behind you to help you do that before just jumping in, so you can really have a strong strong focus and good aim.
Yeah, you were talking about, you know, some of the things to consider when deciding to do missions work or not. And in that, I think should, like, looking at your talents and how the Lord has gifted you is probably pretty important as well, because, you know, you're going there to plant a church and do, what did you say, theological training? Because... tell us what your background is. I'll butcher it.
But sure, Well, my bachelor's degree had some Bible and missions and sociology all kind of mixed up in it.
Yeah.
Then I finished my MDiv, and I'm working now on a PhD from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the Lord's equipped me for that task in particular, theological education. But you think back to even in 1 Corinthians, everyone has a part in the body.
Yeah.
And not everyone's gifted to be a teacher, and not everyone's gifted to be a pastor, but we all are to be involved in what the church is doing.
Yeah.
And so I do think there's a place for many, many more people on the mission field, even if that's not, you know, teaching at a seminary or something.
Right.
But really, like you said, focusing on, okay, where the Lord has gifted a person and utilizing that to the best of the one's ability and in the power of the Spirit for the kingdom.
Yeah. How do you envision your, Kayla and Ryan, your guys' dynamic in the DR and what you're going to be doing? And I know when you get there, it may not be anything that you envision right now, but do you kind of have an idea of like what it's going to look like and the role each of you are going to play? And
well, I'll let her take this, but I'll say first, she has a degree in accounting, and I can count to seven.
Okay.
That's one thing off the bat.
Yes.
She's got me on.
Yeah, so God has gifted me in a very different way. Yes. But yes, I think with that skill, having a degree in accounting, I mean, we have to do a level of financial accountability on the field. I mean, we are self-fundraised, and so how we use those funds really does matter.
Yeah.
And we have organizations and churches that we're accountable to use their resources that they've given us well.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of, you know, background administrative tasks and paperwork for that, as well as other paperwork for, you know, getting visas and immigration and all of that. So God has gifted me in a very administrative way.
Mm-hmm.
And so just taking that over, I think, takes stress off of Ryan's plate. So he's happy to give it to me. And then for me, the other big thing is just a lot of hours in my day right now are wrapped up in our girls. We have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and they take a lot of attention and love. And I'm homeschooling our 4-year-old and plan to continue homeschooling over there as well.
Yeah.
So that will take up a good chunk of my time as well and my energy. So
I think about, because we have young kiddos as well, 2 girls too, and I'm just thinking as a mom, and you can answer as a dad too, Ryan, if you want to, but like, I don't even know how to articulate this, but you're taking your girls like on this trip with you, on this adventure, if you will, on this, you know, mission trip. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Can you talk about that? I don't know my question.
Well, maybe for some context, you need to tell on yourself a little bit. You took a little test one time.
Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah, I took a test in college one time, some probably personality test, and one of the measures was your adventure, like level of adventure, and mine was literally zero, like not 1/2, not, you know, 0.25, literally zero. Yeah, so for context, I cannot fathom this, you know. So for me, I'm like, oh my gosh. And so anyway,
we typically joke that if Fallon does something a little bit adventurous, we would say, you get an adventure point for that, you know. Like, so if we ever hear us say that, it's because of her adventure score.
If I stay up past midnight, I get an adventure point.
So I think that's probably the most difficult part of the move for me as a mom. Is a little bit of worry, if you will, about the girls. And, you know, I try not to worry too much. Scripture says when you do, to take it to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
And that has definitely been, you know, where I've had to take it multiple times.
Yeah.
Just get on my knees and, you know, pray. But yeah, it's been a lot to process just what life will look like for them.
Yeah.
But there's also just so many positives that come out of the life that they're going to live overseas and learning another language. They're going to grow up bilingual. I obviously didn't grow up with that skill, so there's so many positives, you know, that will come out of them being able to relate cross-culturally.
Right.
And, yeah, just I'm excited to see how the Lord will use them as well. And even to open some doors for us, you know. Kids are great at opening the door for conversations with other parents and other people in the community. So I'm excited, even though there is that little bit of hesitation in taking them to a complete unknown.
Right.
So
one of the things that we've talked about with each other a little bit is we can tend to think of our kids as sort of ours. And then as Christians, we actually believe that we're stewards of our children, right? Because they're actually the Lord's. And then there's scripture that says your children are actually arrows in your quiver, right? And you're trying to prepare them to send them out. So having this mentality that they're already God's, I'm just here to steward them. And, you know, of course, we protect them and all the things. But like, yeah, stewarding your children, being on mission for Christ, what better way to steward them is that? So it made me think of that when you were talking.
Ryan, did you have any thoughts, like from a dad's perspective?
I just remind myself that people raise kids in the Dominican Republic every day.
So practical, impossible task.
You know? Kids are kids, and they'll be fine if we're being good parents. And, you know, obviously, tragic things could happen, but that could happen anywhere at any time.
You're right.
So just trusting in the Lord and raising them the best we can in the Lord, and being okay with that and not worrying too much more about that.
Let's see if something that came to my mind when you were describing earlier how when you're thinking about missions, you should think of it as how can I best be part of the body of Christ? How can I best be a steward of the resources people help us with? I was sitting here thinking, going, the American dream is get more, earn more, accumulate more.
Right.
And in some ways, mission seems to be the opposite. It's sort of give more, right? How do you think about that? Did you have to go through that transition in your own for yourself? Like, or was that pretty natural for both of you, that heart to, we're just going to give, you know, we're not going to focus on this striving to get more, so to speak.
Yeah, I guess since college, because we've been thinking in this direction, it wasn't too difficult. You know, we didn't have to give up, you know, multi-million dollar jobs or something to go. So, yeah, it's kind of where we're at right now and where we're headed and what our passion is. And so for us personally, it wasn't that difficult because I don't think we ever saw the American dream as something that we were within grasp of because we've just been aiming this direction for a while now.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, though.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder, and also when you said for people that are trying to prepare themselves if they're going to do short-term type missions, if they are striving for that American dream, make sure that you're not doing a mission trip for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you want to feel good or because you want to fix something or, I don't know, I was doing a little bit of reading about missions and, you know, just kind of tips. Like, you're not going there to fix, you're not going there because you're better than, you're not, you know, this, you're actually trying to learn, you're trying to listen, you're trying to help wherever you can. But another one, I had a question for you, Ryan, and I think this is, actually both of you, Ryan and Kayla, I think this is part of what your specific focus is, but this concept of establishing local leadership where you're going on your mission trip, why is that such an important piece of the puzzle for missions work?
I think because, one is biblical. When Paul traveled, he raised up elders in the churches, and then he left, and he'd write to them and whatnot, but this is what he did, and I think that's important for Dominicans to reach Dominicans, and that way when we're gone, because at any point we might have to leave, you know, no one knows what could happen. We could lose our visa status or whatever, and we'd leave, and so we don't want to establish something that is dependent on us as people from America. We want them to have their church that we will gladly be part of that body for as long as the Lord has us there. But we don't want it to be dependent on us. We want it to be grounded solidly there and not just Americanized, but we want a Dominican church with Dominican leaders. And mm-hmm. that we can eventually go somewhere else or go to another city or what have you, mm-hmm. but that it would be a solid church even so.
And do you see a hunger for that from people there that are trying to become leaders in the church, so to speak? Is it sort of a natural thing that happens, or it's something that requires a lot of, you know, relationship building? I'm imagining it requires all the same things that a relationship would take here, right?
Sure. There's a lot of religious passion there and a lot of Christian passion even. And so part of the unique draw for us is that we can help equip that and ground that. And with mm-hmm. my theological background, help train pastors who are already pastoring who may not have any theological mm-hmm. background at all. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of why we're excited to go, and part of why I continued in pursuing a doctorate degree is mm-hmm. to be able to do that in particular mm-hmm. and assist in that way. That's one mm-hmm. way we can be helpful to the body in the Dominican, is by helping and training and preparing. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't at first eliminate our role as church planters, but it does help us long-term see that we really want to equip and help establish and not just be the ones, you know, running the show.
Right. That's good.
Do those, you mentioned that religious passions that are there, do they tend to be in silos, or are they actually sort of almost intermix a little bit, because there's some missing grounding? So you might have Christianity almost intermixed with other types of religions. What do you tend to see?
Yeah. I mean, almost like anywhere, there's different streams of thought and backgrounds in a particular place, but they're all in that same place. And so just like American Baptists mm-hmm. and American Methodists might have certain similarities and also differences, mm-hmm. you also have that there in the Dominican. Mm-hmm. There is one form of syncretism that we don't often see here in our context, which is a mix between Catholicism and African voodoo, which mm-hmm. a long time ago has merged. And this is pretty common mm-hmm. in different parts of Latin America, mm-hmm. this type of syncretism. And so there's witch doctors, but also saints, and you use Catholic language, but voodoo practices. Mm-hmm. And this is really strange to us, strange and odd mix. Mm-hmm. I remember once I accidentally walked into a witch doctor's hut, which was a thing I don't know if many people have accidentally done. And I saw pictures of saints on the wall, like in the Catholic idea, with like cat's blood and stuff underneath, and really, really odd mix. Mm. So wow. Yes, that is not everyone in the Dominican are by no means involved in that.
Sure.
But it is prominent in certain parts.
Sure.
And so sometimes you have this very misguided focus, mm-hmm. but it's not an atheistic, you know, scientistic focus mm-hmm. where we just don't care about God. Mm-hmm. I mean, they very much do, but it's a matter of grounding this biblically and understanding what Scripture is really about.
That's interesting.
And while that may seem it's unique in its own specific way, because we don't mm-hmm. see that a lot, let's say here in the U.S., for example, but we do see, let's say, Christianity intermingled with secularism here in different ways, right? So it's like, back to your point, like that seems odd to us thinking about it, but it's probably just as odd what we see here sometimes happening. So that grounding is important. I think back to your theological instruction, which is a part of your ministry, mm-hmm. seems to be so critical there.
Right.
I would assume, is that how you sort of tackle that, is through more of the grounding in biblical truth? And
yeah, and some are closer than others to, you know, where we should ideally be, right? None mm-hmm. of us have made it theologically. Mm-hmm. We're all fall short of God's theology, right?
Yeah,
didn't
for sure.
misquote Paul. but, you know, the witch doctor casting demonic curses on people, probably not the guy I'm looking to train as a leader in the church, right?
Yeah.
And so it just, we'll see, you know, who's there. And Pentecostalism is very, very popular there. Hmm. And there are some Pentecostal pastors that I know who have great passion for the Lord, and they've never been trained at all on how to read their Bibles. Some of them are illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
And so finding some of these guys who'd be very open to instruction and training, just like all of us have to be open mm-hmm. to instruction and training and learning how to read our Bibles and learning what true theology is. Finding some of these guys and helping to equip them would be mm-hmm. a big part of our ministry.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit. You guys have had a series of setbacks. You were supposed to, again in quotes, be in the DR already about a year ago. and then a series of events happened. And so I just kind of want to hear from you guys. You don't have to go into the specifics of all the events that happened or anything like that, but what, I mean, was it extremely, well, I don't want to give you a leading question. Tell me your thoughts and just, you know, emotions around those series of setbacks.
Well, I will say that I'm a planner. My personality, I write down a plan and I stick to my plan. And that has not been the case the last year. My plans got thrown out, you know, probably about a year ago. And yeah. We've been, you know, rolling with the punches, so to speak, since then. Yeah, we were not expecting a worldwide pandemic. Mm-hmm. Right as we're trying to get up and running and get to the field. And so that was hard to process, I think, for me in mm-hmm. particular. Just having to really fully rely on God's timing and fully rely on the church, and in this case, several local churches in different areas, right. Taking us under their wings and providing housing, providing a car, providing whatever the practical needs were mm-hmm. that arose, because we sold almost everything we had to our name a year ago, you know? And so we really were kind of at the mercy of the church, and so thankful that Lord, time after time, just provided mm-hmm. just what we needed, and more than what we needed, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's been a testament to his faithfulness for sure, but it has been a little bit of an emotional roller coaster as we watched the holidays roll by, and we were like, oh, we thought we were going to be in the DR for my daughter's birthday. Yeah. We thought we were going to be in the DR for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you know, now we're a year down the road and we are finally going to go. But yeah, it's been ups and downs over the year for sure. Yeah. Mm.
You said the Lord's faithfulness, and that's exactly what I was thinking as you were just telling all of those things and or telling that story. You know, and obviously his ways are higher than ours and his thoughts are higher than ours, so I don't know what he is thinking or doing, but part of me wonders, you know, was he strengthening your faith in him? You know, like, was this a way of preparing you guys even more for your trip over there? Like, he's showing you in all these little ways, like, look how I'm faithful in the little things, like even the little details I have under control, and just, you know, showing you that time and time again. I feel like that can bolster our trust in him and our willingness to surrender.
For sure. So for sure.
Well, he also has a good sense of humor, I think. So that was Lord. Yeah. Oh, you're a planner, huh? Yes.
That's funny.
How about for you, Ryan? How did the changes? Are you a planner? Let's put it that way.
No, I'm not. Much less of one, anyway. Okay. And so I'm not sure they're quite as difficult for me. But, you know, as a dad and husband of a planner, you know, it weighs on you a little bit. You want to get your family settled and whatnot. Yeah. So in that sense, yeah, it's been a little bit difficult, but not. Not horrible, like she said. You know, everyone really stepped up and helped us out when after we sold everything and had to move out of our house and then live somewhere else for a year. And so it's been really good, really a huge blessing to see everyone's support through this time. That's good.
So it's been, like we said, almost a year. All these, I call them setbacks. What did you call them, Mark? You said a better word.
I did.
It wasn't as.
I don't know.
It wasn't as negative of a word.
Opportunities.
It wasn't that positive of a word. But anyway, over this year, you've, you know, sort of been waiting and trying to get to the DR, and you were set to get there in June of this year. That was the most recent plan. Mm-hmm. And then that changed as well, right? So
yeah. We were traveling last week in Texas, visiting some churches and people we know there that we haven't seen in a while. And while we had a couple months, we thought we'd make a round. And our immigration lawyer in the Dominican that we've been working with called and kind of casually mentioned, hey, your passport is not going to have enough months left before expiration. We need to figure that out. And So it kind of sent us into not panic, but we do need to figure this out. And it ended up looking best to get there now and not wait any longer, because then we'd have to renew my passport. Mm-hmm. And at first it seemed like it was absolutely necessary. We had to get there now this month, or we'd have to wait a long time and do the whole visa process again. That ended up not being the case. It's not a necessity that we move now, but it looks like that might make things easier.
Okay.
And so even though the island still kind of shut down with some COVID stuff, and we were just going to wait till June and plan things out a little bit more after all the delays, we decided, let's just go. And we talked to our missions pastor and our sending church, and they said, go. Save the hassle. Just get down there now. Awesome. And so, we're moving in, 4 days now?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so, 4 days.
Yeah, so the plan is 4 days. So we will, I won't hold my breath, right? You guys probably aren't going to hold your breath either for those 4 days, because you know things have changed so many times since then. But it sounds pretty like you're going. So yeah,
it looks like it.
Yeah.
And so by the time people listen to this,
you will probably be there.
Yeah, we'll be there.
We'll be there. So, by the way, we're here on a Saturday and they're leaving on a Wednesday. So it's coming very soon.
We're so thankful they still met with us.
When we first heard about you guys and got to know you, one of the things that I was interested in is, how can I follow along with what you're doing? So can people follow along, and how can they follow along with what's going on? And
we have a website, quinleysdr.com, that you can put in your email address at the bottom, and we'll send out newsletters. Okay. We haven't sent out a whole lot yet because we've been in Illinois and no one's interested in that, apparently. So, but as soon as we get down there and get going, then we'll start updating. We also have a Facebook page. I think it's Quinley's NDR, Quinley's in the DR.
We'll put all the links.
You can link to it after this, and our personal Facebook pages. And if you're too cool for Facebook, we do have Instagram.
Okay.
So if you're under some certain age, then that's how you can follow.
I'll say I'm too cool for Instagram. Does that just mean I'm old? Yeah. I think that just means I'm old. And then can they give, if anybody wants to support you financially, is that how they would give as well? It's through either of those sites?
Yeah, our website will link to our sending organization, which is Shepherd Staff.
Okay.
But you have to go to a certain page there to find us. And so our website, quinleysdr.com, links to that, and there's ways to give on there.
Well, we will continue to bug you to put you back on the podcast, especially as you get back, as you have some new experiences in the Dominican. But we're so happy you guys came and chatted with us today. So thank you very much.
Thank you guys.